This is Radio Superior 1940, a reproduction of actual news events with authentic popular music. This is a true story of our past. Step back with us to another time. We bring you now to the KUWS radio studios at the Superior State Teachers College and the Martin and McKenna Show.
This is the voice from the head of the Great Lakes, Station KUWS. It's Friday night, September 27th, 1940. Jack McKenna saying hello, hello, hello. Lou Martin is standing by with the 6 o'clock news. Bill Kirby is in with the sporting news. And hang on to your suspenders, to our folks. Now that the first peacetime draft is the law of the land, Lou will talk to the newly appointed Douglas County Draft Board Chairman.
I told you not to set up any more interviews for me.
But this guy's legit, Lou.
Yeah, you set me up with a clown named Piddles that couldn't talk, Virgil the Great, who saws people in half, and your bartender girlfriend.
They allowed you to show everyone your versatility as an interviewer, especially Piddles. The 6 o'clock news is brought to you by National Tea Company Food Stores. They're back in business after being burned out by the Great Hotel Superior Fire. They're in the same location with the same great prices. Like ham for 16 cents a pound.
Let me see now. That means that you'd go for about $30.
Just couldn't resist, could you? Now, Lou Martin, Piddle's friend, with the National Tea Company 6 o'clock news.
Thanks, Jack, and good evening, good listeners. The balance of power has shifted to the fascist governments of the world. Nazi Germany, Italy, and Japan signed a military pact today. We begin our shortwave radio roundup with Max Jordan in Berlin.
This is the Third Reich. Germany, Italy, and Japan have declared to the world that if you fight one of them, you'll have to fight all of them. This treaty guarantees that if any nation enters the European war against this new Axis power, all three countries will fight that nation. It is believed that this is aimed at the United States. This treaty was signed at the Chancellery with Adolf Hitler looking on. This pact recognizes Germany and Italy will establish a new order in Europe while Japan establishes a new order in Asia. Neutral observers believe that should the United States enter the European war, it would also have to contend with Japan in the Pacific. That would keep Uncle Sam from sending the American fleet to Britain's aid. Japan has the third largest fleet in the world, equal to Italy and Germany combined. This means the United States would have to fight a war on two fronts, against the combined Teuton, Latin, and Nipponese empires, numbering 250 million people. This ceremony is a familiar one to foreign correspondents. It took place in the gilded hall of ambassadors in the newly built chancellery. Two huge crystal candelabras shined a festive light on the occasion. At the far end of this hall, next to the offices of Adolf Hitler, stood a long table with microphones and three leather chairs. On the right sat Italian Foreign Minister Count Ciano. On the left, Japanese Ambassador to Germany, Saburo Kudusu. And in the center, Nazi Foreign Minister von Ribbentrop, the signer of many treaties that were supposed to assure peace. As in the past, von Ribbentrop says they seek peace, not war. In Berlin, this is Max Jordan calling Tokyo. Command Daryl Berrigan in Japan.
This is Tokyo calling. Daryl Berrigan reported. This signing of what is being called the Axis Powers brings the possibility of a clash between the United States and Japan closer. President Roosevelt's embargo of scrap metal shipments to Japan means a confrontation is inevitable, according to one Tokyo newspaper. That newspaper says the United States has aligned itself with London and Chongqing and is meddling in the affairs of Japan with every hostile means short of war. The embargo will go into effect October 16th and is designed to thwart Japanese expansion in China. Nipponese officials are concerned that this is the prelude to a complete economic embargo against Japan. It is expected that Japanese Foreign Minister Yosuke Matsuoka will send a strong enunciation to U.S. Ambassador Joseph Grew. In Tokyo, this is Daryl Berrigan calling Rome. Come in, Harrison Salisbury.
This is Italy calling. Correspondent Harrison Salisbury speaking from Rome. Fascist authorities are hailing the Berlin-Rome-Tokyo agreement as a warning against America helping Britain. They are telling the Yanks to keep out of their efforts to gain territory for, quote, living space, end quote. Those of us among the correspondents' corps were told this anti-Comintern pact assures the maintenance of a stable world peace. But it should also be seen as a warning to other countries. Quoting a high fascist official here, if certain circles continue to manifest dangerous tendencies, they may push their countries into a situation of war. These same officials agree this Axis treaty will make it possible for them to dominate Europe, Asia, and Africa. In Rome, this is Harrison Salisbury calling the British Isles. Come in, London.
This is London calling Webb Miller reporting. The Battle of Britain is finishing its third month and German air attacks continue to smash Britain. Today's air raids are seen as vengeance raid for a devastating all-night attack by RAF bombers over Germany and occupied France last night. Anti-aircraft guns here blazed as 20 German planes were shot from the skies. The RAF seems to be winning the aerial war. Bombs did fall in South London on a factory and a tenement, killing many women and children. Luftwaffe bombs struck Liverpool, Birkenhead, and London. In London, this is your correspondent, Webb Miller, reporting.
The war in Asia is getting more intense. Japanese troops are moving westward across French Indochina, through Tonkin and Hanoi, toward Laos, Siam, and Burma. China says Japan is trying to cut off its vital trade route, the Burma Road. From Boston, the 22nd annual meeting of the American Legion's annual convention made a startling reversal in policy. American Legion delegates shouted down a resolution for strict neutrality in the European war, abandoning a 16-year stand by the Million Man Organization. Oregon Commander Alfred Kelly says the American people want courage from the American Legion, not appeasement. On a lighter note from Hollywood, Judy Garland has moved into the ranks of one of the best-paid actresses by signing a 7-year contract, paying her $2,000 a week.
$2,000 a week? I wonder if she'd be willing to move back to Minnesota and date an old Romeo like me.
Yes, I wonder. The 18-year-old starlet at MGM will also get money for radio appearances that she makes.
Well, that'll give her some walking around money anyway.
Some people remember Judy Garland has a link in Superior. Her mother lived in Superior just before her birth. Mr. and Mrs. Gum moved to Grand Rapids, Minnesota, where Judy was born. KUWS Radio News Time is 6:07. Now here's a few words from our sponsor.
National Tea Company is having a grand, and Okay, try that again, Jack. All right. National Tea Company is having a grand reopening. That's true, folks. National is back again with a still greater store after that Hotel Superior fire that we all, we didn't like it too well. Superior's finest deluxe food market is ready to give you all these great bargains. Take, for example, Swift's, no less than Swift's, fancy hams, 16 cents a pound. Pork chops, 15 cents a pound. Tenderloin of pork, 21 cents a pound. Pork loin roast, 10 cents a pound. Strip bacon, I didn't know they do that. Sugar cured, 12 cents a pound. And cold cuts, assorted, 15 cents a pound. You get the feeling, folks, that you're going to go down there and take advantage of these great, great prices. I leave you with grapes, 4 pounds for 19 cents. How about that? National Tea Food Company, right there at Belknap and Tower.
A polio scare is over in Superior. An Eloise boy confined to a Duluth hospital for the past 5 days with suspicions of infantile paralysis appears to be fine. The health department says he has no signs of that dread disease. An Iron River restaurant owner has been cleared of charges of operating slot machines. KUWS radio newsman Mike Simonson has that story.
This case has been the talk of Bayfield County, Lou. And restaurant owner Hugh Heinkel had a steep hill to climb since the chief witness was Bayfield County District Attorney Walter Norland of Washburn. It seems Mr. Norland stopped by Mr. Heinkel's restaurant for a bite to eat. That's when he saw the alleged slot machine just sitting on a table. Mr. Norlin quietly at his dinner with a friend, H.A. Kennedy of Iron River, who is a Progressive Party candidate for sheriff. When Mr. Norlin left the restaurant, the slot machine was gone. In testimony before Municipal Judge E.C. Hart, Mr. Kennedy said he never saw the one-armed bandit, and Iron River grocery clerk Alan Hart says he frequents the restaurant and has never seen a slot machine there. A jury of six acquitted Mr. Heinkel, who was represented by woman attorney Elizabeth Hawks. Lou?
Members of the Douglas County Board of Canvassers are recounting votes in the Republican primary for district attorney. Attorney Andy Borg lost to assistant district attorney Claude Cooper by just 50 votes. The recount will cost Mr. Borg $2 for each of the 47 county precincts. And finally, Jack, it's never too late to explore our wonderful country. 73-year-old J.W. Cornish and his 81-year-old wife took a 2,000-mile trip in their 1923 Model T Ford. The Cornishes just returned to their Rice Lake home after visiting friends in Minnesota, North and South Dakota, and Wisconsin.
Oh, boy, that's some bumpy traveling on the old Ulster's bums, Lou. Now let's check that forecast, folks, for this Friday night, September 27th, 1940. A bit of autumn in the air. It'll be partly cloudy and cooler. Today's high was 68 degrees, with an overnight low tonight around 38. And those leaves are turning a nice bright red, yellow, and orange. Here's a good number to kick off our Friday night. This is Benny Goodman and his big hit from last year, Let's Dance, on the Martin and McKenna Show on Station KUWS. Your listening enjoyment, that was Benny Goodman and his orchestra from the 1939 hit parade, Let's Dance, on Station KUWS. Summer may be over, friends, but there's still cause to be concerned that your food could spoil unless it's properly refrigerated. Windowsill refrigeration is dangerous, you know, and storing food in the basement is, well, unsafe. A cool windowsill or damp basement floor is no replacement for a new, dependable electric refrigerator. Superior Water, Light & Power Company encourages you to go modern get rid of that old ice box and get an electric refrigerator. Less spoilage saves you money. Superior Water, Light, and Power Company reminds you that utility service is cheap in Superior. I think I'm getting hungry. Here's a good one from Chick Bullock and his Levy Loungers. And you must have been a beautiful baby, but you are ugly now on the Martin and McKenna Show.
You must have been a beautiful baby. You must have been a wonderful child. When you were only starting to go to kindergarten, I bet you drove the little boys wild. And when it came to winning blue ribbons, you must have shown the other kids how. I can see the judges' eyes as they handed you the prize. I bet you made the cutest bow. No, you must have been a beautiful baby, 'cause baby, look at you now. Have been a wonderful child. When you were only starting to go to kindergarten, I'll bet you drove the little boys wild. And when it came to winning blue ribbons, you must have shown the other kids how. I can see the judge's eyes as they handed you the prize. I bet you made the cutest bow. No, you must have been a beautiful baby. I took one look at you. You're a beautiful baby. Baby, look at you now.
That was Chick Bullock and his Levy Loungers, dedicated to Lou Martin. And you must have been a beautiful baby on station KUWS.
I slave away all day in the newsroom over a hot teletype machine trying to get some good newscasts together for our show. Newscasts with variety and taste. And you make these little remarks about me. Is this the thanks I get?
Oh, I'm sorry, buddy. It's just that you're, well, you're handy. It's all in fun, you know.
Well, why couldn't you poke fun at Ray Paulson or Bill Kirby?
Because he knows newsmen don't trade insults. You're above that. But us sports guys, we can heckle with the best of them.
I'm afraid Bill's right, Lou. But I do appreciate you slaving over a hot teletype just for me. Bill Kirby is in for the missing Rapid Ray. Bill?
Thanks, Jack, and a big howdy-do to you two fans of the sporting world. This is the Westland Hardware Sports. The Detroit Tigers and the Red Men of Cleveland square off for a three-game end-of-season series that could very well decide the American League pennant. Cleveland is host at huge Lakefront Stadium as manager Oscar Vitt put his ace, Bullet Bob Feller, on the mound tonight. Tiger manager Del Baker will take a chance with rookie lefty Hal Newhouser on the hill. Still, it's a long shot for the Tribe. If the Joe DiMaggio-led Yankees win all four of its games this weekend, then Cleveland must sweep the Tigers. Not easy when you've got a big guy like Hank Greenberg in the lineup. And sports fans, Superior's own Maury Arnovich, outfielder with the Cincinnati Reds, is World Series bound. An all-star last year, and this year he'll be in the Fall Classic. The National League professional football champion, Packers of Green Bay, hit the comeback trail Sunday. They take on the Chicago Cardinals. Last week, our heroes took it on the chin, losing the season opener to the Windy City Bears 41-10. The Cardinals and the Bears square off Wednesday night, and those upstart cards won, stopping George McCaffrey and the vaunted Bears' backfield. Ticket sales are brisk at Milwaukee's Fair Park, as the Packers faithful hope Don Hutson can lead the team home to a victory again.
And attention outdoorsmen, I'm going to tell you the best place to get your hunting supplies. It's Westland's Hardware, of course. 12-gauge shells of Nitro Express, just $1.10 a box. Single shotguns on sale for $7.75. They've got hunting caps for 69 cents each. And get your hunting license at Westland Hardware. No waiting. Westland Hardware at 1020 Tower Avenue. Looks like German boxer Maxi Bear will get another shot at Joe Louis. Maxi was soundly beaten by the Brown Bomber 5 years ago, but last night in Jersey City, he KO'd 19-year-old Patrick Comiskey, laying him out 2 minutes and 39 seconds into the fight. Maxi's purse was $300,000, or about 188 bucks a second. This is Bill Kirby signing off for now. And, Lou, you were a good sport for putting up with Jack here.
Work and slave away all day for this program.
Thanks, Bill. Let's cheer up our sensitive news guy with a fine number from B. Wayne and I'm Nobody's Baby on Station KUWS.
Nobody wants me. I'm blue somehow. Won't someone hear my plea and take a chance with me? Because I'm nobody's baby now. They'd bounce me on their knees. The neighbors thought I was a darling child. Once I was everybody's baby, but right now I'm lonesome as can be.
She needs sympathy.
I'm nobody's baby.
Nobody's baby is lonesome.
I wonder why.
You always try to get a guy.
Each night and day I pray the Lord up above.
Nothing'll help you.
Please send me down somebody to love.
She thinks it's Christmas.
But nobody wants me.
Nobody wants her.
I'm blue.
Violets are blue, sugar is sweet, what's the matter with you?
Please hear my plea and take a chance with me, because I'm nobody's baby now.
Cute voice of B. Wayne and the MGM Orchestra with I'm Nobody's Baby. That's for you, too, Lou.
First it was You Must Have Been a Beautiful Baby, and then I'm Nobody's Baby. It's enough to make a grown man cry.
We don't have time enough for that. What we do have, though, is Mr. Joe Raffoli in our studio to talk about the new peacetime draft. Mr. Raffoli is the newly appointed Douglas County Draft Board Chairman. Good evening, sir.
You're lollygaggers, aren't you?
No, no, he's gagger, I'm lolly.
So this is the interview you set up. This guy. Who is he? A buddy of yours from the Black Cat Cafe?
I beg your pardon?
Hey, Lou, be nice to the draft board chairman. People need to be nice to all draft board chairmen.
Look, pal, I don't know who you are, but just because you wear shoes and socks doesn't make you the real McCoy.
Shoes? Socks? Who is this guy?
He's not himself today.
For all I know, you're a cousin of Piddles the Clown. Here, let me honk your nose. Honk,
what?
Honk.
What on God's green? That's my nose.
Just play along, Mr. Raffley. You see, Lou is really special. They only let him out once a month, so just, you know, play along.
I don't play. But I guess I understand. Poor guy. Men, these are serious times. There's no time for this baby this and baby that. America has to wake up. If Churchill doesn't hang on, well, the Hun could be at your doorstep next.
I have to say, this guy does a good draft board chairman.
Don't sit too close to me. Douglas County just got its draft orders this week. Men, we'll be called to duty soon. We've got our marching orders from Uncle Sam, and by golly,
You mean Lolly. Jack's Lolly.
Is he always like this?
Yeah, worse. Remember, he's gagger. Sometimes he doesn't use much common sense about how important it is for us draft-age men to be very nice to the draft board chairman.
I don't think he has to worry about Uncle Sam calling his name in the draft. Anywho, a draft board is appointed for every 30,000 people. So Douglas County has two. Each man called will get a complete physical to decide if he's physically fit. You know, during the Great War, I was one of the doughboys in Black Jack Pershing's American Expeditionary Force in France. I know what it takes, and I know we can whip the lollygaggers into line in no time at all.
So, Miss Raffley, or whatever your name is, who will be the first to be drafted?
A national conscription lottery will be held real soon, and every Joe will get a number. When your number is called, that's when you come before my draft board. It's fair, and there'll be no slackers. You're not a slacker, are you, boy?
We play the national anthem every morning when we sign on, and every night when we sign off. How's that for true blue?
Well, maybe you're all right after all, McMartin. This is a serious job, and that's the way I take it. The Superior National Guard will be mobilized next month and head out to Camp Beauregard, Louisiana. That's the real thing, people.
Draft Board Chairman Joe Raffley. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, thanks, bub.
The Army makes men out of lollygaggers.
Here's one for the Superior National Guard and all those future draftees. This is Louis Armstrong, and when the Saints go marching in on the Lolly and Gagger Show.
Hey, that's a good rousing number. I like good rousing tunes.
Sisters and brothers, this is Reverend Satchmo getting ready to beat out this mellow sermon for you. My text this evening is when the Saints go marching in. Here come Brother Hickenbottom down the aisle with his trombone. Blow it, boy. Go marching in,
marching in.
Now when the Saints go marching in,
marching in.
Yes, I want to be in that number when the Saints go marching in.
Go ahead, brother.
When the Saints go marching in,
marching in.
When the Saints go marching in,
marching in.
Yes, I want to be in that number when the Saints go marching in.
Hello,
That's Satchmo himself, folks. Brother Louis Armstrong and When the Saints Go Marching In on Station KUWS. Lou Martin is in with some news bulletins.
From Washington, Secretary of State Cordell Hull says he considers today's signing of an alliance between Germany, Italy, and Japan a menace to the United States. From Moscow, the signing of the Axis Pact has not been announced to the Russian people. There is no official comment from the Kremlin. From London, the Air Ministry says 122 German planes have been shot down in the continuous air battle over London today. This is one of the heaviest losses inflicted on the Luftwaffe in the Battle of Britain. Those are the latest news flashes. Say, that guy left his draft book here. You know, hey, this looks pretty authentic. Don't tell me I just harassed a guy that could one day draft me.
You just harassed the guy who could one day draft you.
This is your fault. You did it to me again.
I tried to warn you. I winked and pinched and even gave you the slash sign across the throat.
I didn't appreciate the pinching part. I've got a bruise now.
It might not be so bad, buddy. It sounds like he doesn't think you're military material.
You mean he thinks I'm a loon?
Our half hour is up.
The longest half hour of my life.
Stay tuned for the Don Amici Show, followed by the Ink Spots, Kate Smith, and Believe It or Not. We'll be back same time, same place on your radio dial, the good Lord willing. And they let Lou out more than once a month.
I didn't appreciate that remark either.
For Lou Martin, and this is Jack McKenna wishing you all and all a lovely good night.
You've been listening to Radio Superior 1940, an original weekly production by KUWS Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio. Radio Superior is produced and written by Mike Simonson. Harriet Farig is played by Jennifer Simonson. Other performances by Paul Guggenheimer, Duke Skorich, John Munsell, Tom Martinson. All events reported on Radio Superior 1940 are actual accounts from the editions of the Superior Evening Telegram. Join us next week at this same time for more Radio Superior. This is your announcer, Dan Culhane, speaking. Good night.